This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. In the new movie Troy, director Wolfgang Petersen takes on Homer's immortal tale, The Iliad. Though not filmed in real time, you might feel that way after nearly 3 hours in the theater. The movie stars Brad Pitt as Achilles. If you've seen the movie Troy, if you're a student of the classics, we'd especially like to hear from you. Did you like it? Was it faithful to Homer's original? If not, did you like it anyway? In this scene, Hector, played by Eric Bana, scorns his brother Paris, Orlando Bloom, for stealing away Helen, which will start a war between the long peaceful nations of Troy and Greece.
Do you know what you've done? Do you know how many years our father worked for peace?
I love her.
It's all a game to you, isn't it? You roam from town to town, betting merchants, wives, and temple maids, and you think you know something about love. What about your father's love? You spat on him when you brought her on this ship. What about the love for your country? You'd let Troy burn for this woman?
To help us be better consumers of the movie, we've invited classics professor Robert Rabel from the University of Kentucky to join us. He's at the studios of member station WUKY in Lexington, Kentucky. He also teaches a course on classical literature and film. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Neil.
So how much of the Iliad could they squeeze into about 3 hours?
I think they did a very good job of getting a lot of the Iliad into the film. The Iliad has a narrower focus than the film. The Iliad's really about the wrath, the anger of Achilles, and it only takes place in a few weeks in the 10th year of the Trojan War. What Wolfgang Petersen has done, and I think done very successfully, is managed to incorporate the Iliad into the larger story of the destruction of Troy.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of that that backstory, if you will, was told in flashbacks in Homer's version.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. So we do get filled in.
Yes, sure. In the 10th year of the war in Homer, when tempers are frayed, mm-hmm. Achilles and Agamemnon get into a fight over a woman who is Achilles' prize. And this leads Achilles to become very dissatisfied with the war, and he decides, like an NFL quarterback who's not getting paid much, he's going to sit out. And his sitting out then will result in a Trojan victory until Agamemnon gives in and relents. Achilles waits too long, and his best friend Patroclus, who was played in the movie by someone who's Achilles' cousin, we're told, is killed. And this leads Achilles on an awful, terrible rampage. He kills so many Trojans that the river can't flow. The corpses are filling the riverbed. But at the end of the Iliad, Achilles learns something when he meets Priam, the king of Troy. He learns that because we're all mortal and because we're all going to die, and he's going to die also, that these bonds that are made by our common mortality are really can be stronger than the claims of war or the claims of nationhood. So Homer has a very humane view of war. Hmm. And also a sympathetic view of Achilles.
Yeah. Interesting. We have a clip from the movie where Achilles, Brad Pitt, is discussing the concepts you're talking about with the Trojan queen, Briseis, his prize, the one he gets into the argument about, mm-hmm. Who's played by Rose Byrne. Let's listen in.
Why did you choose to love a god? I think you'll find the romance one-sided.
Do you enjoy provoking me?
I'll tell you a secret. Something they don't teach you in your temple. Gods envy us. They envy us because we're mortal. Because any moment might be our last. Everything's more beautiful because we're doomed.
So that sense of the wrath and in a way the tragedy of Achilles is conveyed in the film?
Yes, indeed, Neil. And those lines we just heard are wonderful and very true to Homer. In Homer, the gods, unlike our conception of God, are not really treated all that seriously because they can't die and can't really suffer. Therefore, nothing that they can do will really be serious. Mm-hmm. And Homer makes a point throughout the poem of contrasting the seriousness of mortal affairs with the whimsicality and humor involved in the gods. They really are less than we are in that film.
Let's get some callers involved. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. George is with us from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hello.
Hi, George. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm glad to be on. Let me just, one of the criticisms I had of Troy the movie is the battle scenes are, the people that fall are basically faceless and mm-hmm. have no connection with an audience. Whereas when Homer has people die in the battle scenes, he almost inevitably, for every second or third one, puts in a little detail that makes the person live. And I'm going to read you from Book 6, a very short passage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Diomedes then slew two Thranides from the walled town Arisbe, a rich man and kindly. He befriended all who passed his manor by the road, but none of these could come between him and destruction now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the various battle scenes throughout, every third person, you get a detail that he left a wife and two children, or that he had only been married 6 months. These kinds of details where I really felt when I was watching Troy that the battle scenes were among the dullest part of the movie. Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I do think at the same time that Peterson managed to incorporate the major duels that take place between individual heroes. Paris and Menelaus in the beginning, Hector and Ajax, and finally the culminating battle between Achilles and Hector, where the battlefield was totally cleared so that you just had Achilles out there and Hector coming out to meet him. So I do think you did get that concentration on the individual scene. But you're absolutely right about every hero in the Iliad who's killed. Some other hero plugs him and kills him. Homer plants him and puts a kind of verbal funerary monument right on that hero's death. And that's what makes, I think, the Iliad in some ways impossible to film. There are things I liked and things I didn't like about the film.
Did it bother you at all that he had both Menelaus and Agamemnon die on the battlefield?
Well, I sat there, as people in my profession do, counting off the things
right.
that weren't true to the Iliad.
You want a little
instance,
buzzer
nobody,
that goes, every time they get something
exactly,
wrong. Yeah.
Exactly. Nobody in the Iliad rides a horse. Horses are only for pulling chariots, you're right. Menelaus and Agamemnon are killed. Achilles wasn't in the Trojan horse. But those things, I think, are pale by comparison with the things I think that Peterson did very well, and that is managing to subsume the story of Achilles' wrath into the larger story of the Trojan War, which turned upside down Homer's own emphasis. For Homer, it's all about Achilles. The war is second. Peterson turned that upside down. The war becomes primary. And Achilles' wrath does, I think, enter into the film in all of its stages and complexity.
How do you think, Brad?
Go ahead. I'd like to say the one thing that I didn't like about the film at all is that one thing Peterson wasn't able to do, I think, was to convey the sense of the importance of ritual in heroic life. These are very strong individualistic heroes, and they do things in certain fixed ways. And this gives them a comfort zone, because if you're a hero and I'm a hero, we're both out for our own glory, we're both easily offended. So that in Homer, for instance, in Book 9, when ambassadors come to Achilles and say, come on back, we'll give you lots of girls and money, they do everything in a certain sequence. Achilles greets them at the door. He feeds them. They eat silently. Then conversation begins. And no American films I know that are filmed in Greek epics manage to get that sense of ritual. The person I would have loved to see film the Iliad would have been the great Japanese director Akira Kurosawa. And Kurosawa has that marvelous sense of the importance of ritual in heroic life.
George, thanks very much.
Thank you.
We're speaking with Robert Rabel of the University of Kentucky about the new film Troy. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on. Keith is with us from San Francisco.
Hi.
Hi.
I didn't see the movie, but I read a lot of the reviews, and it got some good reviews. But from what I understand, one of the major parts of the story that were left out in this production was the tension between the gods and goddesses on Olympus and the actors on the battlefield. And my reading of the Iliad was that was very important also, and I think it would have been very clever on the part of the producers to include that in the story.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I think Peterson actually made a good decision. It's very hard to depict the gods on Olympus in any sort of meaningful and serious way. If you've seen, for instance, the film Clash of the Titans, where Laurence Olivier, perhaps the great actor of our time, is dressed up in a bedsheet, standing among a group of in clouds, it just doesn't work.
All of those movies do suffer from the pullback to Olympics.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Thanks, Keith.
Okay.
Okay.
Welcome.
Here's an email we've got from Nikki in Norfolk, Virginia. Who exactly were the Trojans? My boyfriend and I were discussing if the Romans were the descendants of the Trojans, and I admitted I had no idea whatsoever.
That's absolutely right. The Romans are descendants of the Trojans, or consider themselves descendants of the Trojans. All throughout the Mediterranean world in Europe, there are many, many cities, though, that wanted to believe they were founded by survivors of the Trojan War. In the case of the Romans, it was Aeneas, their founding figure, their George Washington, actually appears in the Iliad. And it is said in the Iliad that Aeneas is one of the people who will have a future. Homer doesn't tell us what he means by that or what their future would be, but the Romans sort of latched on to that, and they have Aeneas come to Italy and set in motion a sequence of events that lead to the founding of Rome.
Why is it that both Greeks and Trojans alike all speak with British accents?
Well, you know, I hadn't thought about that in the case of the movie Troy, but very often, for instance, in the case of movie Spartacus, they have the slaves speaking American, and then the Romans are using British accents.
But right, that's
I
true.
I think they're trying to have pseudo sort of British accents to make it sound a little bit foreign to American audiences. That's the best I can do.
Anyway, let's talk with Maureen, who's with us from Binghamton, New York.
Hi.
Hi.
I felt that the fact that they didn't address the actual length of the war really detracted from the epic nature that it really had. The fact that it lasted 10 years and they make no mention of it, I felt really kind of detracted from the film.
I think you're right. I felt that a little bit. I wasn't sure how, though, they would have conveyed it except to put a sign up saying, you know, 10 years later, X happened. But you're right. The movie Troy takes place in several days, and you don't get the sense you get in Homer that this thing has been dragging on for 10 long years and nobody's winning, which imparts a sense of frustration to the major figures. I do think that was a mistake, though I'm not sure how it could have been overcome.
Maureen, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I felt it was so-so. The fact that some of the characters weren't quite exactly what they are in Homer's The Iliad, I felt that it was all right. But the fact that the time wasn't addressed, and also just some of the dialogue, I didn't feel had that real epic like nature that it should have.
I think you're absolutely right there. Homeric speakers speak at length when something is important. And I wrote a review of the film, and I thought the only actor I would really have loved to see play Achilles would have been the young Marlon Brando, who conveys that sense of power, who has the eloquence, the anger. Brando, the young Brando of Streetcar Named Desire, would have been wonderful. And when people say to me, oh, Brad Pitt.
Can't you see him in front of the walls of Troy shouting, Helen, Helen!
Oh, yes, indeed. That would have been. And Brad Pitt, I think, comes more out of the Clint Eastwood school of emotional constipation, where everything is sort of kept inside, and you get the little squint of the eye and the quiver of the lip, and that's supposed to convey that emotion. But Achilles is he lets everything out.
Robert,
I don't know who could do that today.
Robert Rabel, we just have a few seconds left. How does Troy compare with other efforts to translate the classics to the screen?
I think it's absolutely superlative. It is the best movie on the Trojan War that I've seen, and I hope this leads to more such films. Can I end with one comment? I was sitting next to a woman in Troy, and I asked her at the end, did you like the film? And she said, yeah, I thought it was a chick flick war movie.
Huh.
And what she meant is that it conveyed Homer's sense of humaneness, the good and evil on both sides, and at the same time dealt convincingly with war. And I wish I had thought of that line.
We'll be back when Alexander the Great comes out. Robert Rabel, thank you.
Oh, great.
Robert
thank
Rabel,
you.
The classics professor at the University of Kentucky, was with us from the studios of WUKY in Lexington. In Washington, very near Troy, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.